Good morning. It's good to be with you today. I hope that you've come to worship with us in spirit and in truth. This is Palm Sunday. This is the beginning of Holy Week. It is the most sacred week of the year for the Christian because it leads up to Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. As we worship this morning, we hope that you worship with us. We want you to sing along with us. On the screen, you'll see the words. But feel free to just simply allow Jesus to come into your heart today. Tula?
20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Raise a thousand voices just to lift your holy name, and we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. Well, none can even fathom, no, not one can find your word, as we marvel in your presence to the end of the earth. Lifting up our heads and singing holy, you alone are worthy. We just want to touch your heart, Lord, touch your heart. Holy, lifting up our voices and singing holy, you alone are worthy. We just want to touch your heart, Lord, touch your heart. As we fall down before you, with our willing hearts we see, in the greatness of your glory, it's so hard to even speak. There is nothing we can offer, no, nothing can repay. So we give you all our praises, and lift our voice to sing. We give you glory, lifting up our heads and singing holy, you alone are worthy. We just want to touch your heart, Lord, touch your heart. Glory, lifting up our voice and singing holy, you alone are worthy. We just want to touch your heart, Lord, touch your heart. Our hope is drenched in you, our faith has been renewed. We trust in your every word, nothing else can even measure up to you. We give you glory, lifting up our hands and singing holy, you alone are worthy. We just want to touch your heart, Lord, touch your heart. Glory, lifting up our voice and singing holy, you alone are worthy. We just want to touch your heart, Lord, touch your heart. Glory, singing holy.
Thank you, folks. And good morning to our congregation, those others who are listening. You know, when we talk about Palm Sunday, we talk about the greatest week, as Brother Randy was sharing with you, the Christian faith. But when Jesus walked in to Jerusalem that Sunday, he never walked out of the heart of the universe. The coming of Christ on Palm Sunday meant that Jesus would continually walk with those who would believe. We're separated by space, but we're not separated by spirit. We're separated by space, but we are never, ever separated from that wonderful hugging relationship that only Almighty God can give us through Jesus Christ, His Son. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for caring so much about a world who was going to hang you on a cross. Lies, deceit, beatings, all manner of evil was to come against you. And yet you knew it. Yet you looked to the heart, our heart, the hearts that have been born, the hearts that are yet to be born. You see them, Lord. And because of your great love for your greatest of creation, the human race, you came anyway. You knew that I would mess up. You knew that everyone that had ever accepted you as Lord and Savior was going to continually mess up time and time again. But you went to the cross for us anyway. Your ultimate love, Father, we cannot grasp. But your ultimate love you sent to us in our spirit. Father, I can't see you, but I know you. I feel you. Oh, I feel those loving arms. And I hope and pray that all those who are listening today, who are watching today, also remember Jesus does not have to stand at a social pronounced distance. Jesus is going to hug me. Now, I can't hug you, but Jesus can hug us. Allow him to come into your spirit. I have encouraged each and every one of you for the past couple of weeks, you know, to remember Easter Sunday. I'd even wanted to, and it's on our webpage, and we'll bring it down tomorrow. But I've talked about on Easter for us coming drive-in service in the parking lot, and I said to you now, don't come. This is supposed to be the peak week of the coronavirus death total. Folks, this church building may be empty, but all week long I want you to remember they went to the tomb next Sunday and it was empty, but Jesus was there. Jesus gave him a hug, gave him that special spirit that only he could give. That's what I'm asking of you. Please, please listen to your pastor. Don't come. And if your family is in need of finances that you don't have enough to give to the church, please don't give. Don't come, don't give. If this building falls in, that's fine with me, as long as my congregation, the Church of Jesus Christ, is safe. So let us keep one another safe. So don't be coming next Sunday. But I do want you listening. Now, I have in process, meaning they have been ordered and supposed to be here, have been here. They're not here yet, but I possibly could get them at the first part of the week. So here's what I want you to do. And what that is the portable Lord's Supper. And if I can get them, they're sterile, packaging and everything, but that doesn't matter. When you get them home, wipe them off again. But they're packets that are sealed with the bread and the cup. I will give you a time period when you call me to where people can come by the church. I'll have a table setting out front here. Some way I'll figure it out. And you tell me I'm coming by to pick up four or five or ever how many in your house that are saved and you want to participate next Sunday in the Holy Ordinance of the Lord's Supper. I will have those out there for you. Drive by, pick them up next Sunday. We have been really, really been blessed, folks, with the Mike Buckles and Ben McCartney at the radio station, of them saying, that's fine, we will keep you on the air for doing that. And listen, these folks are great at WKMO, and I just appreciate so much of them doing the broadcast and keeping us on the air. But I will then, next Sunday, we will participate in the Holy Ordinance of the Lord's Supper at a distance from one another, but at a spiritual contact with our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to touch one another's heart through the Spirit that you have given us. That's the big news for us today. In a moment, I'll have prayer for those who are sick, those that we know that are continuing to hurt, and I will continually lift them to you, to the Lord, in prayer so that you can put them on your prayer list. I will do that in a moment when we come together for that special prayer time. But right now, I want you to understand the importance of us today making announcements, letting you know how much God loves us. And because of that love, he's given us this great nation. Right now, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, because here's what I want you to prepare for. As soon as I get through with that prayer of thanking God and asking God's touch on America and throughout the world, I will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. God gave us this nation. As long as we recognize that and lift his name above all names, don't worry about what's going to happen, because this nation is great, and it shall remain great, but only by the power of Almighty God. Let's pray. Father, I lift to you a nation that is to their knees, Father, and that's right where we need to be. Thank you, Father, for bringing us to our knees. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you send the doctors, the nurses, all those first responders. I praise your name for them, Father. And Father, I ask for your special protection over them now. Father, they're fighting the invisible enemy, but not to you. They're standing strong and they're hurting inside, but Father, I pray that you will touch them, touch their spirit, give them the strength for the battle that lies ahead. I pray for our leaders, Heavenly Father, for our president, dear Lord God. I lift him to you and thank you for him, Father, and ask your special anointing now that your wisdom will supersede all that of the wise men of this era that stand around him. Give us the courage to continually stand strong. Give us the boldness to walk. Give us your word to speak. Bless our nation. Bless each household. Father, you've entrusted to me a special congregation at Vine Grove Baptist Church. I lift them to you now, Father, and ask that your special touch and protection will surround them. Oh, I lift them to you, Lord. Allow your will, your love, and Father, your great mercy to supersede any virus. Touch their households. Touch the children, Father, as they minister to the needs of parents and to their grandparents. We thank you, Father. Praise your holy name, dear Lord God, for the opportunity to preach your word, to live in the nation that is the greatest ever known, and to have a God who watches over us. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who would, if you have an American flag within your home, in your study, wherever you are, I'd ask that you would stand, face that American flag, and recite the pledge with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. God bless America. God bless Vine Grove Baptist Church, and may God's blessings be upon each one of you. You know, as we look and as we focus on life, we need to look and we need to focus on why things happen. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. I want you to know something. God loves you. That's why it's going on. What could I do without some of this kind of love? No, you can't. I have a cancer growing inside of me. Now, that cancer can't be taken out yet because it can't get into the hospital. You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited that Jesus loves me. Can the cancer kill? Well, yes, it can. But it can only kill the body. Folks, our relationship with Jesus Christ is so magnificent because it is that Jesus Christ that looked at you, looked at me, and that Christ that as he looked at us, he saw us before we existed. And he laid out that path. The path that God laid out for every individual, including himself, his son. And at the time God had set for things to happen, they happen. Always. Never late. Always right on time. You see, because he's always right on time, you and I will not be late for our appointment. I got an appointment for you, Larry. Well, Lord, is it coming sooner? You know, I got another cancer here that I'm messing with. No, Larry, it'll happen right on time. Do you get me, folks? How did this come about? Well, all the prophets had said, this Jesus is coming, a Messiah. He's coming. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hosanna, come now. Come now. Praise ye the Lord, come now. Do you understand something? Brother Randy, it's time to come now. It's time to lift our hearts to the Lord.
As Jesus prepared to go to Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, he told his disciples, they are going to crucify me, kill me when I go to Jerusalem. And his disciples didn't understand that. They didn't like that. And yet they said, let's go. We'll all die together. But once they got to Jerusalem, the mood changed. It was a triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem because people were lined up along the roads waiting to see this man who had raised Lazarus from the dead and who had done all of the various miracles that Jesus had done. They wanted to see him. Listen how Matthew describes his entry into Jerusalem. This is Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put them on their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The word Hosanna is kind of an exclamation like amen or hallelujah. And it has meaning of salvation, to save. This is what the people were shouting, even though they didn't understand the true salvation had come to die, to pay a price on a cross, that they had no idea that it was the price of their sin that he would pay. As we sing this next song, "Hosanna, Praise is Rising," I hope that you listen to the words and to the music and let your hearts go to Christ, who has come for you and has saved you if you put your faith and trust in him.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. And your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away.
Folks, what a blessing. This morning, again, in our prayer time now, I'm wanting us to remember Brother Norman and Patricia. One thing about it, Brother Norm, we're all locked in together now, together separately in our own homes. And I want to lift to you Lovell Cottrell also. I know that she is at home, and many of us getting up into our age time, many of you all out there that might be doing that, the virus, everything, I don't know, for a Christian, for me, I have no fear of this stuff. I have no fear of that. But I have a fear of doing something that is wrong that would cause problems to other. I have the fear of me giving someone else something. So therefore, I will listen to the professionals on it. I'll keep my distance. And as our those that are home keep their distance, Bob Woosley, I know you're keeping your distance. You've been grounded for 2 months. Mary Smith, God bless you. I hope and pray that you're still healing well. Claude and Mary and Kidder, Claude is well taken care of with his special wife watching after him. Dwayne Farrell told me that he was healing fine, for me not to sweat him, but I'm going to keep praying for him anyway. My wife, Faye, as I let you know last week, has the shingles. They have dried up, but she still has the pain. So I ask that you continue to remember her in prayer. Now, Danny Griffith, I hope you're doing fine this morning, too. I know good and well, buddy, that you're not liking this idea of being locked up all this time, but your pastor misses you and miss that special spirit that only you can give during a service. I thank you for that, son, very much. As we take these folk to the Lord in prayer, I know that you will have others on your heart. I pray that you will lift those individuals to the Lord and allow Him, through your Spirit, to touch the heart, the spirit of those who are hurting. Let's pray. Father, we do praise your holy name again. We continually, time and time again, Father, come in the name of your Son, Jesus, asking your special blessing upon each one that I've mentioned, all of those, dear Lord God, who are hurting. We've lifted our nation to you, Father. We've lifted the world to you, Father. Man has messed up, Father, and it's always been you that has straightened the mess out. We lift this mess to you now, Father, ask for your special anointing, special touch. In Jesus' name, amen.
Garden of Eden, God had accepted just one sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb to atone for the sinner, a shadow of one who would pay the dear price. Tried but not guilty, since I've been forgiven,
and debt, but it's settled once and for all. A slave, but I'm free now. Chains have been broken. Was dead, but I'm living, and it's all because a payment of love was given in blood on a rugged old cross. Jesus would die for the ultimate pardon to all who would come broken and lost. He paid it all with his shame and his suffering, and his blood is still glowing from that old rugged cross. Tried but not guilty, since I've been forgiven, and yet but it's settled once and for all. A slave that I'm free now, chains have been broken. Was dead but I'm living, and it's all because of payment of love was given in blood on a rugged old cross. The dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. On that old cross he suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Tried but not guilty, since I've been forgiven, a debt but it's settled once and for all. A slave that I'm free now, chains have been broken, was dead that I'm living, and it's all because a payment of love was given in blood on a rugged.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate that. Because God loves us. Now, why are things happening? Because God loves us. Well, how deep is his love? Let me tell you, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the question comes about time and time again. I wrote my pastor's lesson to live by this week on this. It's a focus of why. Why did there have to be a last week for Jesus in a human condition? Why must the last week take place? I told you, God has laid out a plan. He laid out a path. God laid out his own path. God laid out the path for his Son. God picked you and me, and he laid out our path for us. God has planned. God planned for you. God planned for me. Now, our mamas and daddies may not have planned for us. God did. And I can guarantee you this. The human race will not mess up God's plan. We as human beings allow life to infect us with a thing called sin. And because of sin, we interrupt that plan. But you can never cancel God's plan. Did you know that a call to preach, the scripture says, is irrevocable? God said, Larry, I called you to preach. He will never revoke that. Now, if Larry goes wild and goes completely out of it, God will correct me. God will chastise me. God will put me in a timeout. He's done that several times over my ministry. But he will never, ever change his ultimate plan for my life. I have an ultimate destination to reach. God gives me an ultimate path. And on that ultimate path and that ultimate plan that God had for me, I will reach my ultimate destination. That's what the last week was all about. There had to be the last week on planet Earth as flesh and blood, because this physical body of mine cannot come into presence of God. Sinful. It's broken. It's diseased. But God created me. But he created me as a spirit. And the spirit of Larry Vance happens to live inside this physical body. All that is meaningful is spirit. All that I can't see is all that truly matters. All that I don't understand, God will explain to me now or later on. Because you see, the path has been set. Jesus was to go into Jerusalem. All he ever offered the human race was love, hope, prosperity even. But you see, man wants to be the boss. Man wants to be in charge. I've got news for you, man. You're not in charge. I got news for you. World, God is real. God really did send his son Jesus, and Jesus really does love you. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Jesus said, I want you to be with me. But Larry, you cannot come into the presence of my Father in that human condition. Therefore, I've got to go in that final last week. I am going to enter triumphantly. I will leave triumphantly. But don't worry, I'm coming back triumphantly. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. I have an inheritance. You have an inheritance as a believer. We have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. You mean it's waiting for me in the kingdom of God? Already got it. You see, the Jesus that came into my heart as a boy, it's the same Jesus that I will see face to face in his kingdom. You see, we have prayed that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will has always been to love, to put back together the brokenness. Our nation is broken. People are dying from an invisible enemy. It is an invisible enemy that you and I have no control over. But I know the one who does. And I've learned over the years, when it's really, really bad, and you've just realized that you can't deal with it, tell God on it. God will watch after His children. He is watching after us. He is with us. Well, you know, why would God let this? Look at it this way. God didn't do this. Now listen to me. God did not do this. Sin did this. Sin did this. Sin that would cause an individual to eat exotic animals. Sin that would cause all manner of activity with the human race. Sin caused it. God didn't cause the problem in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sin caused the problem in Sodom and Gomorrah. But God takes care of the problem. After all, He's the one who has come into Jerusalem to die for me, for you, and to conquer sin. He's coming back again. But you see, I do get excited over Him coming back. But it's difficult for me to get excited over Him coming back when from the time I accepted Him as Lord and Savior, He's always been in me. Even prior to this, even prior to me accepting Christ openly, it was He who touched my heart so that I could recognize Him. Jesus is already in me. Physically, will I see Him again? Yes. Yes. Sure I will. But how much better can it get than that spiritual touch that He's already given us? I have been wrapped in the arms of God through the love of a Savior who knew that He needed to go into Jerusalem. God sent Him there for you and for me. He had to experience life, and He had. He had to experience death, and He did. And He had to conquer sin that way. God set the path. Jesus followed His path because it was our sin. He did not know sin. Listen to Matthew 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Listen to Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He conquered it for you and for me. He conquered sin. He conquered death. Told you a while ago. It's an empty church. And next Sunday, oh, they didn't know Sunday was a coming, Brother Webster. They didn't know Sunday was coming. They will go to that tomb. They're going to find it empty. Empty. Empty visibly, but not spiritually. I hope, Christian, that you know Jesus is in you. And that though you look out and you see the church pews empty, I want you to know that Jesus is with each and every spirit that is out there that knows Him. You can't come and us get together. And our love, listen, folks, this church especially, I've always told people that would come, look, if you can't get along in my church, you ain't going to get along anywhere. You might as well stay at home. And that's fact. Because we love each other here. We care about each other here. And even though we cannot be together to fellowship physically, I guarantee you we can fellowship spiritually. I pray for you. And I expect you to be praying for me, so get at it if you're not doing it. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your nation. Pray for those leaders. We got a lot of leaders that are not heads. But we have a Savior that's bigger than all of them. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, I feel pretty weak anymore. You got to watch it. You don't want the psyche to get to you to where, you know, you think about all the bad stuff and all this that brings you down. I got news for you. The Savior, that one who is in me, is greater than anything the world will ever be able to dish out. And I have a smile not only on my face, but in my heart. You know why? When we were still without strength in due time, that's God's plan. Due time. God said, due time has come. Son, it's time for you to go into Jerusalem. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You, Christ died for the ungodly. And he died in victory. And through that victorious death, he conquered sin. He conquered life. He conquered death. I got one death to die, and that's the physical one. I got to leave this body. It's a mess anyway. One death to die. And now there's two deaths out there, but I don't have to worry about the second one. Nope. Don't have to worry about it. You know why? Jesus went into Jerusalem that final week because God loves us. Jesus shared in our humanity. God became human. Why would he do that? Because that's the only hope that you and I have. We can't do it on our own. Can you heal yourself? Worst doctor you'll ever get's you. I don't care if you are a medical doctor. It's just like an attorney. The individual who stands up to defend himself in a court of law has a fool as an attorney. I don't care if you're an attorney. There's a whole lot of things in life that you're going to have to realize you can't do, and you have to turn it over to the one who can. See, I want this done right. I want life done right. But me, walking the path of life, I just can't seem to get it right very often because I start thinking about, I know better than this. I know this. I know that. Boy, that big I can get in the way of life itself. And it's extremely destructive. Listen to Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, he continues. That is the devil. He shared in humanity so that he could conquer humanity. For you and me, that's love. Because death came through the man, Adam, life life would have to come through the man Christ Jesus. And that's just fact. Adam, man, messed up. Jesus came to fix the mess. The best lesson for you on that is look at your own individual life. How many times you cry out, Lord, fix this mess? And he does. And then you make that stupid promise, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, and I'll never, ever do it again. And guess what happens? Lord, here I am again. Oh, I hear your voice, Larry. I know you. There's that ditch again, too, surrounding you. Jesus came, but only because God loves us. Why did God let this happen? Sin is not a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of sin. It's already conquered. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Because God loves us. There had to be that last week. It was already set. The time had come. Jesus came. And he looks at the place he loves so much. As he comes walking in the town, he stops. He looks and he cries. Jesus wept. He cries. And it wasn't just a couple of tear cry. It was crying from the heart. It was as he had called out to him time and time again. Come to me. Those of you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me, he said. I will heal your nation. And he's looking now over the city that he had proclaimed that to. Listen to Luke 19, verses 41 and 42. Now as he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, it was your opportunity, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. Oh, folks, listen to me. Don't turn away from that hand. Don't turn away from that peace. Don't turn away, for it is from your eyes that you have to watch. Jesus says, here I am, right here. Won't you look at me? He says, I really do love you. Could his tears that he's shedding there be because of those who would not accept his peace? You know that had to hurt. Parent, listen to me. How often did you want to lead your child in the right direction and they wouldn't listen? And your heart would break and you would cry inside and outside. Jesus says, I want to give you peace. That's my Father's love. Brother Randy, think about it. How deep the Father's love is just for us.
that he should give his only son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The father turned his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one brings many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, his sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was a dying breath has brought me light. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no
folks. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, just like when he entered your heart, he entered for the right reasons. All the right reasons. He was going to enter Jerusalem. But many of the ones who came out to greet him, they might have said, "Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hosanna, Jesus, save us now. Save us now." But he looked to the heart. Sometimes a small group of people will grow a larger group of people until soon you have a crowd. But then the question is, why are they all there? Are they all there for the same reason? What was the reason that they came out? But God says, "I love you." Knowing that many were going to come out and he would see them along the way, you know what he knew? He knew that a lot of those who were praising his name coming into Jerusalem would be the very ones that would be saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" That Thursday. How would that make you feel? Would you still want to go to the cross for that type of individual? That type of hatred? Jesus did. Because he loves us. God looked to the heart of man. knowing what he was facing, Jesus went anyway because of you and me. John 12, verses 12 and 13. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Save us now! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Therefore, the people in John 12, 17, 18, who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, they'd borne witness. They saw what he did at the tomb of Lazarus. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. Jesus, will you do a trick for us? Folks, it was Palm Sunday, the holiest of weeks had begun. Jesus was going to fulfill the path that was laid out for him, and you and I are on that path. The reason that you would go to church, it's not the idea of, okay, don't come into church because you're not right. No, it's not in how you come. It's how you leave. All the people were there. Jesus gave them the word. He gave them the word from his Father through his actions. He gave them the word of hope. All the way up to the cross. And then what does he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's a love that you and I have received from God our Father. But it's also a love that you and I seldom ever even come close to giving to others. They hit at us, you hit back. Jesus, they hit him, they beat him, they mocked him, and he loved them. And the them is you and me. That first week, that was for us. Therefore, the people who were with him when he had called Lazarus out of his tomb, raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason the people also met him, because they heard what he had done, that he had done this sign. Let me tell you, he's been doing signs and wonders before time began. And sin of the human race will not hold him back. But here's the question. What's your reason for coming out to Jesus? When you come to him, what's your reason? Why have you come? Do you come to welcome? Do you come to mock? Well, you know what I say? Come on. For I know that the power of the word of Almighty God is greater than any mocking that you can have. So it's your opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. He gives you that freedom. Won't you say yes to Jesus? Heavenly Father, we thank you.